Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Luke chapter 7 verses 1 through 10 titled, So Great Faith. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, titled, So Great Faith. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events update. I don't know how many saw this in the news because it didn't make a lot of news. But I'd like to toot the governor's horn when I can, which isn't often. But Governor DeWine signed a new law protecting school kids from censorship by Antichrist liberals. Okay. Now, I know some of you say that's redundant, Antichrist liberals, because they're, you know. But just for clarity. He signed this bill protecting students' religious expression at school. Of course, homeschoolers never had to worry about this. Neither did, I don't think, Dre, you, Nick, where'd you go to school?
Patriot.
Patriot. You didn't have to worry about that there, I don't think, did you? It did. Once they start taking that tax money, and what happens is you get the unions involved, the NEA and the Federal Teachers Union, I can't remember what it's called. And once you get those involved, then the ACLU comes in. They lie to the kids. They lie to you. And you are an American. And when you go in that school, they cannot strip you of your constitutional liberties. And so you write a paper, and they say, write it about your favorite person. And you say you're going to write about Jesus or the Apostle Paul. They can't tell you no. They do, and they get by with it a lot of times because people don't. And the Apostle Paul used as our example, he was a Roman citizen.
Yeah.
And if they violated his rights as a Roman citizen, he called them on it. And that's how Christians should be as Americans.
He's right.
Amen.
And then anytime the law says for you to do something that goes against God's law, you still obey God's law, not man's.
Amen.
So the Ohio Student Religious Liberties Act is what it's called.
Yeah.
It passed 32-0 in the Senate. And 90-3 in the House.
Amen.
So there were three fascists in the state house. Because the law simply says that public school students, quote, may engage in religious expression before, during, and after school hours in the same manner and to the same extent that a student is permitted to engage in secular activities or expression before, during, and after school hours.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
All the way back in the 80s, I experienced this, and I wasn't even a professing Christian. I'd go to church, and you know, people would say, "Are you a Christian?" But I wasn't really at school. I never witnessed anybody. I never told people I was a Christian because I really wasn't. But I've always thought it was wrong to murder a baby. Always, never thought that murdering a baby was a good thing. And I was smart enough in the sixth grade to know that when a woman said, "My body, my choice," that they were liars.
Mm-hmm.
That baby is not their body.
That's right.
Your body, your choice? Right. And that baby is not part of your body. I also knew better than to think it was a blob of tissue. See, even back then, they had pictures of the babies that were killed by abortion. Mm. Wasn't no blob of tissue. It was a baby. Well, I was sitting in school, and I was telling this girl who was very outspoken, pro-choice, as they call themselves, pro-abortion. And as I was telling her why I didn't believe in abortion, my teacher came up and she said, "Greg, I don't want to ever hear you talk like that again. You're liable to offend people."
Oh, well.
Yeah, they don't care that they offend those who don't want babies murdered.
I think
she offended you. They did. But they don't care. It's that, and we have been living in a society where liberals have somehow found in the Constitution a right not to be offended. The Constitution does not guarantee I won't offend you.
That's right.
The Constitution guarantees I can say what I want.
That's right.
As long as I'm not breaking another law. Mm-hmm. Like walking into a movie theater and crying fire. And then causing people to get trampled. That's breaking the law.
Yeah.
And you have that same right.
Yeah.
You can say you think I'm wrong. But you can't silence me. You can't tell me I can't speak. And that's the liberals today are trying to silence anybody who disagrees with them.
That's right. That's right.
This law is to stop liberal teachers from abusive retaliation. Now, of course, they say, well, no, we didn't write this particular to any group. Well, that's true, but, okay, be a politician. But I'm telling you, the reality, they've had to pass this law because of liberal teachers silencing conservatives and Christians in the schools. Further, this is from the article, the new law prevents school districts from prohibiting a student from engaging in religious expression in the completion of homework, artwork, or other written or oral assignments. Teachers shall not penalize or reward a student based on the religious content of the student's work, the law says. Now, Christian kids are told to be, they don't have the same rights as the other kids. You have anyone who's atheist, Muslim, any non-Christian religion, really, they were allowed to and are allowed to speak and talk anytime they want to about religion. They can write about it and everything. But once Jesus is brought up, you know why that is? Because Jesus is the only one who really is God.
Amen.
You can talk about all the other religions and you can talk about your lack of religion, as long as you don't talk about the true God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you see it. Liberalism has destroyed our education system, and it's also destroying our families.
Yep. Right.
A national tragedy. America leads the world in single-parent homes.
Wow.
Now that doesn't surprise me.
The Pew Research Center recently released its findings of single-parent homes, showing that the United States has the world's highest rate of children living in single-parent households.
True.
Now, we thank God for mothers who, she was a single parent because her husband died. And we thank God for the Tracys out there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Take
Amen.
Young men in. And we're not, but all of them would tell you that every young, any child needs both.
Mm-hmm.
In an ideal situation, it's best if they have both.
Right.
Amen.
Now, if they have a godly Christian woman leading the house, they're much better off than the kids who don't have either.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a father or a godly Christian mother. But it's with the knowledge in society that the family unit is the glue that keeps a culture together.
Amen.
And this fact about families is the result of feminism and the liberal idea of sexual amorality.
Yep.
We read in 1 Peter 3 a text that most American women would accuse us of being chauvinists for believing. If you believe the Bible, most Americans will call you a male chauvinist pig. And so they produce young ladies who grow up without a sense of the Christian duties and privileges of the Christian woman. On the flip side, mainly because of the liberal idea of sexual amorality, we have a nation of male whores.
Yeah.
A majority of the American men are like dogs, just running around humping everything they can get their hands on.
Yep.
And it's producing the mess we've got today.
Yep.
And it's all liberal. Liberal ideology.
Right.
And that's why the family is disintegrating. Liberalism produces reprobates.
Yep.
A liberal, by definition, does not believe this book is God's Word. A liberal, by definition, is a liar.
Yep.
By definition. They believe in what they call situation ethics, which means if they think lying is going to benefit them, they'll do it. And so they do. Liberals lie. It's what they do. That's why when they look at a baby in a womb, they call it a blob of tissue, because they're liars. That's why they talk about gun control. Why? Because they're liars. They don't want gun control. They want the government to have the guns. They don't want to get rid of guns. They're liars. One thing after another, any issue we could talk about, you bring it up. I will explain and demonstrate to you how that liberals lie. They found the right to abortion in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Now, I dare you to grab one of our pocket constitutions over here, spend 5 or 10 minutes just reading the 14th Amendment, and you'll say, what? They found the right to abortion in the 14th Amendment? The only reason they were able to do that is because they're liars.
What was the...
Only 39% of Americans believe life is sacred.
Wow.
Think about that. Only 39% of Americans believe life is sacred. That means 60% of the U.S. population are psycho. You want to know why I believe in carrying protection for self-defense? Everywhere you go, you're going. If you spend much time out in public today, you're walking past psychos. They're God-rejecting, dark, wicked-hearted, and don't think that your life is sacred. So if they can kill you and get by with it, they'll do it. Mm-hmm. That's how they can kill all these babies every year and not think twice about it. You know what? I'm going to tell everyone, especially young people, you've been taught people are basically good. That is a lie of the devil.
Amen.
You better understand something. You only trust people insofar as you need to and in so as much as they have earned your trust.
Yes.
People are inherently wicked according to God's word and according to common sense.
Right.
All you got to do is open your eyes and look around you. You'll see most people are wicked.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you walk around with a scowl and just treat everybody, but you better be on guard.
Yeah.
You better watch it.
Yeah.
People are always going to be trying to take you. That's why if you are offered some kind of a thing that sounds too good, the old saying is, if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
And come to, Doug and I were talking about this morning, and all of us, most of the adults here have talked about, we've all been suckered.
Yeah.
We've all been stupid.
Yeah.
And you can choose not to be stupid like we were by just simply coming to the elders and saying, hey, I was told that I could do this for that and this and that. And you come talk to us, we'll give you the information. It'll be up to you to make the decision. But smart, the Bible says it's wise to seek counsel of the elders. Why? Because a lot of us have already stepped in the dog do, and we can tell you how to get around it. Yeah, Johnny?
On that 39% number, do you know how they, like what kind of a question? I mean, is that just based on those who are for or against?
They ask the question.
Do you believe
all life is, human life is sacred?
And so 39% of people said yes.
Yeah. Think of that. And there have been other polls like this taken, said, would you kill somebody if you knew, is there somebody you'd like to kill first? And the majority said yeah. Okay, would you kill them if you thought you could get by with it? The majority said yes.
Wow.
You want to defund police? Go right ahead. Murder rate to go through the roof because people think they're going to get by with it. And there's a bunch of them out there who'd like to kill somebody, and if they thought they'd get by with it, they'll do it. By the way, that Minneapolis city that's defunding police, they're now spending taxpayer money so they can have personal security guard details.
For who?
For themselves.
Yeah. Just for the people in charge.
Yeah.
Everybody else, no police.
Listen, this is what's going to happen to America. Everywhere liberals take over, you're the ones that get killed.
Yeah.
If you go to Venezuela, mm-hmm. or if you go to Cuba, or if you go to China, or you go to Russia, you go to anywhere where communism, socialism took over, you'll find that the people in the higher levels all kept their guns, and they have police protection. It's you peons, the suckers who fund that stuff. That's what Americans are doing right now. Even the Republican Party, everybody's like, oh, those Democrats. It's Republicans as much as Democrats are all bending over for this movement today that wants to get rid of police. And Black Lives Matter. You know what? Black lives do matter. And that's why you need to stop electing these punks who don't care about black lives. They're putting Planned Parenthood to kill your babies in black neighborhoods. The highest murder rates are where Democrats run the place. Chicago's where just this weekend, every weekend, dozens of black people are shot and killed. You know what the Democrat Party does about it? Nothing except for ask for more money.
Yeah.
Ask for more votes.
Yeah.
It's just sickening.
I think Candace Owens says black lives only matter when it's election time.
Every 4 years, the Democrat Party decides black lives matter. That's right. Yeah, Dave.
Well, they want to gripe about something. I mean, everybody, they're trying right now to take the black pictures off of, like, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, and grits and stuff like
it's
that.
It's white liberals deciding these things.
Right. The thing is, that, to me, is racism and discrimination.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because those people...
But the more important point of that, Dave, is it's white liberals making those decisions. And it's white liberals who treat blacks and people of color, as they like to put it, they treat you like you're mentally retarded. And every 4 years they come back and say, vote for us, we're going to help you. And sadly, a majority do. And what do they get? 4 years later, nothing's happened, and they're told once again, vote for us, we'll do something for you.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, hey, whites, white conservatives, we did the same thing with the Republican Party. Every 4 years, we'd vote for a Bush, and then they'd stab us in the back. That's why I left the party. I am not a registered Republican until this president we have now. And that's the only reason I didn't vote for a Republican or a Democrat.
Amen.
So everybody just kind of has to stop being played by these political parties. And that's a start anyway. But the main point is you need to turn to Jesus Christ. And if we'd see more people getting saved, things would change. But that's exactly what we're talking about, is what the Bible predicts for these end times. I want to read it in closing our current events update. 1 Timothy 3. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Oh, wait a minute. Is it 2 Timothy? That's 2 Timothy 3. Typo. Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read the first five verses. Think about what we have been discussing. And know that this is prophecy about our day.
Yeah.
Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. How do we know we're in the last days? Israel is back in the land, and yet still rejecting their Messiah.
Yeah.
The one world government is being established. The one world economy is being set up. Sodom and Gomorrah is in revival.
Yep.
They, by and large, what we were talking about there with 39%, only 39% saying life is sacred. The Bible says in the last days, men shall be without natural affections.
Yep.
So on and on it goes. We can see that the stage is set for the last days. And it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I don't think I have to explain that any further. But now read verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now stop there. That self-love thing, self-esteem, it's not just in the public schools, it's in churches.
Yeah.
It's satanic. It's Isaiah chapter 14. It's Lucifer saying, I will be like the Most High. I will. Why he's so full of himself? Lucifer loves himself. Lucifer teaches self-love. And it's even in the churches. Covetous. Americans among the poorest in America live better than most people have ever lived throughout human history. The poorest of our people are better off than most people who ever lived. And yet, it's never enough. Covetous. Always wanting more. And that's why you vote for socialists. You think you're going to get something more. Boasters. Do I need to say anything about that? Proud. What do you have? Pride month. June is Pride month. And they have pride parades. It's the only good thing come out of COVID is they canceled most of them. Blasphemers. The name of Jesus is used more for cussing than praise in America.
Yeah.
Turn on your favorite comedian. Turn on your favorite sitcom. Turn on your favorite musician. And they will use the name of Jesus more than the majority of the time as a cuss word.
Yep.
And not for praise. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Need I say more? Unthankful, unholy. Now read verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now without natural affection, it goes from killing your own babies, divorcing without reason, not raising your children. You know, no matter what it is, it's all based on, huh? Truce breakers. What's that mean? It means you they can say, oh, let's get along this. And then they'll turn around and violate. Stab you in the back. False accusers. I'm called a bigot constantly. And I'm not a bigot. I'm called a racist. And I'm not a racist. What? Because that's all liberals can do. They're liars. They falsely accuse you. And a lot of times, when a liberal especially accuses you of something, they are projecting.
Yeah.
They are accusing you of doing what they themselves are doing.
Yeah. Amen.
Here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to come here and show you all the racist things that Joe Biden said that the Democrat news media doesn't want you to know. Joe Biden is a racist. Donald Trump is not a racist.
Amen.
And if you believe that, you've checked out. Donald Trump is not a racist. And I'm not a racist. But it's the only thing liberals can do is lie and falsely accuse.
Yep.
And I don't have time to go into everyone, but read verses 4 and 5 now. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh man, there's plenty of religion involved in the whole godless, apostate, liberal world. They always have a reverend around. But they don't ever look for a Bible believer.
Yep.
You make a difference. The Bible says there's only one reverend, that's God.
Amen.
That's why I don't ever call myself reverend, and I don't want you to call me reverend. And people who do, I'm telling you, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Because God is reverend. I'm just a Bible teaching pastor. That's
Amen.
It. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That sums it up.
Yep.
And we see it all the time. People who come in contact with this ministry and then they go off into wickedness because they love that pleasure of sin for a season more than they love God.
Yeah.
And we all know people like that. So, that's your current events update. Go read and meditate on that this week as you do your other Bible reading, 2 Timothy 3. So that, we're going to start with our study in Luke chapter 7. We're going to cover the first 10 verses. So great faith. And we're going to read those 10 verses if you're there. Beginning in verse 1, read the even numbered with me. So I'll start in verse 1, and just so you know, that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Verse 1, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you pay good attention, I'll be done in less than 30 minutes. If not, I'm going for 2 hours. But the sermon on the plain is over. And now, in verse 1, says, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, that's talking about that sermon on the plain, he entered into Capernaum. And Capernaum, if you look on the map, some of you can't see the cities, but if you look at the bottom is the Dead Sea, the top is the Sea of Galilee. That kind of gives you an idea. If you have that pictured in your mind, you'll know more about Israel and the land of Israel than most people. The Dead Sea's to the south, the Sea of Galilee's to the north. Near the Dead Sea, you have Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I think you've probably heard of those places. Well, if you look up at the Sea of Galilee, it's the little blue blob at the top, and that's where Capernaum is. Now, I can zoom in there for you, and you see down at the bottom near the Dead Sea, you can, might be able to see Jerusalem, Arimathea, where a guy named Joseph was from. You remember Bethany, Jericho, Bethlehem, all those are down at the bottom near the Dead Sea. Then up the top of that map was the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is right on the coast, so it'd be kind of like living in Cleveland. I don't know if they called Capernaum the mistake on the lake, though. So, but verse 2, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. This is the Gentile servant of a Gentile centurion who is near death. Now, you all ain't Jews living in 30 AD, so you don't get it. But I'm here to tell you that the very idea that the Messiah of Israel would even pay attention to this Gentile and his Gentile servant was going to be a shock to the Jews.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, a centurion was a Roman captain over 100 men. You know, there are Christian groups out there that preach pacifism and say that a Christian shouldn't be in the Army or Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard, and they say you shouldn't be a cop. The Bible says otherwise.
Amen.
The Bible never shows anyone in authority like that being told they shouldn't be doing it. A soldier came to John the Baptist and he said, just treat everybody fairly. Don't do violence to any man without cause. But go read what he didn't have Romans, or he could have told him, go study Romans 13, 1 to 7 real good and you'll know how to be a good cop. But this Roman centurion is a captain over 100 men, and Jesus isn't going to tell him, first you resign from the Roman army and then we'll talk. So, Gentile centurions, you'll note as you read through your Bible, play an important role in Scripture. We should take note of several events, so we will. First of all, a centurion testified at the crucifixion.
Yeah.
If you've read through the accounts of the crucifixion, we will come to Luke 23 if the Lord tarries and I'm still around. It says, now when the centurion saw what was done, Jesus crucified, he glorified God. Not Zeus, not the gods. He glorified the God of the Bible, saying, certainly this was a righteous man.
Amen.
That wasn't the typical profession of the Roman or the Jew at that time. Some of them called him a devil.
Yeah.
Said he did miracles to the devil, the power of the devil. And then others would have said he was maybe one of the gods. But that's not how this centurion responded. How many of you remember Cornelius the centurion? Remember him? Book of Acts, chapter 10. He was the first Gentile to be baptized by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Him and his household. And then also a centurion stood up for Paul at the end of Book of Acts.